Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is up? Welcome to No Way Jose. This is Jose Galison. Today I am joined by Lena Ajit. She is a parapolitical researcher. She's done a lot of stuff on the Long Island serial killer stuff, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Before we get going for the day, I do want to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by Nadeau Shave Co. If you're tired of that razor burn irritation that you get from those deep penetrating multi-blade cartridges, then this is the way to go. Go back to traditional shave. You don't need the expensive nonsense. Whether you're shaving your whole face or just edging up your beard, the single blades give you a barber-grade shave for a fraction of the price. The standard issue, which comes with just one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades, puts you at about $75. I've barely put a dent into this. I'll probably go years. That's supposed to be for a whole year, $75, but depends on how frequently you shave. If you shave on the regular, you may want to consider the Quarter Shave Club. That puts you about 25 cents per replacement blade. Use Jose at checkout for 10% off. With that, let's go ahead and get our guests in here. What is up, Lena? It is a pleasure talking to you. It is pretty serendipitous how we met, because I actually had watched a show with you like forever ago, and I was really impressed with some of the like research it dropped, and I wanted to follow that thread later at some point. And then I just happened to follow and found your account on Twitter and was like, thought they were great threads, and then like found you that way. Then I like organically DM'd you and I was just like, oh, I'd love to have you on the show. This is not knowing who you were at all, just based off threads on Twitter. And I was like, oh shit, that's weird how the world works like that. So it's a pleasure having you here. It's kind of weird how it worked out.
Thanks for having me. The one time the algorithm seems to have worked in my favor.
Yeah, well, you want to let my audience know who you are, what you're about. I found you through, I believe it was William Ramsey's channel with the Long Island serial killer stuff. But it seems to be you have a pretty wide breadth of interest, and I don't know if you've really dug into other stuff or if you've made your bones and other things or just doing this for funsies. I know really nothing about you aside from you've done some research there, and I really have dug your threads on Twitter. So if there's things I'm leaving out, then that just you feel free to inform me and my audience.
Well, that pretty much covers it. Yeah, for those who haven't seen, I do work with John Ray. He is the attorney for some of the families in the Long Island serial killer case. I ended up working up as his legal assistant. Before that, I was doing research for him, and I continue to do research for him as well. But yeah, outside of that, I research a lot of things in the parapolitical realm. You know, specifically, I've been sort of interested in pedophile networks and how those networks seemingly tie in to political power, blackmail operations, and sometimes serial killing. So,
Yeah. So, are you just doing this for funsies, or what, that's all this? You're not even really putting out content per se, or anything like that, or do you have a Substack? Or
I want to make a Substack just because I feel like my Twitter threads are really annoying, and it's too much information to put into a thread. You know, they're really long. I know that. So I want to do that, but for now it has been kind of just for funsies. And I guess it's creepy for me to just have this all like on my wall and in my notes and to not put it somewhere. And especially with this West Point thing that I posted, I felt like people would be pretty interested in what I found. So
yeah, we'll dig into that in a second. I am kind of curious, was that an original thread you found yourself? Because I've read Program to Kill, I've read Eye of the Chicken Hawk, and these are like both of these were like threads that were sort of touched on that I recall. I don't remember if they really dug into these or if these were fresh stuff. I don't recall. Like, I recall, like, some of this stuff being stuff that I obviously the Presidio, not the Presidio, but the daycare case, like, I recall that. I recall, I recall some of the individuals that, like, that were in the Eye of the Chicken Hawks in their little graph. But I don't know if this is, like, a specific thread you've been following and you fleshed out more on your own. What put you down this path specifically? Were you on it before Eye of the Chicken Hawk came out? What's going on there? Are you Simon Dovey?
I wish I was Simon Dovey.
Yeah. Which, by the way, for those who aren't deep parapolitical nerds, that's a pseudonym. No one knows who the fuck it is. That's who wrote Eye of the Chicken Hawk.
I think his Twitter is the Hot Star or something like that. I should pull it up. But I think I found his Twitter, which is also really good. But it's definitely a real guy. I thought it might be like a gnome de guerre at first, but I think it's a real guy named Simon Dovey, but I could be wrong.
Oh, I thought it was a pseudonym. I could swear it said it in the book, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly, but it is like a real guy who is on Twitter who wrote it, and he has a fab Twitter. I'll link you after this is over.
I thought it was just some Anon somewhere who just made up that name. I didn't realize they actually had a Twitter account. So
no, like he does. And it's really good. Lots of good research that he puts out there. But it's not under Simon Dovey. I think it's the Hot Star, and he has a blog too, which is really good. And you know, some of the stuff I ended up finding actually connects with a lot of his research and other people's research too, who have been specifically looking into like the Oakland County child killer. But the way I sort of came upon this West Point thing, and you know, it had like percolated in my mind for a while since I'd read Program to Kill. I always wanted to know more about it. I knew the basics that Rudy Giuliani sort of steered the grand jury. There were no indictments. There seemed to be like real substance to the allegations of abuse from the children. So I was always curious about it, but I actually didn't stumble upon any of this information looking into West Point Child Development Center specifically. I was actually doing research on NAMBLA, and you know, I was just going through all of these old newspaper clippings and trying to dig up stuff on NAMBLA. And that's how I came upon Mark Raymond, who, as far as I know, is the only person who's really been mentioned as a person of interest and actual like participant in the child development scandal.
Okay, well, I do want to really start digging into that at some point, but I am just how you even got to this spot in the first place, because we're in a very niche, dark world. I mean, we mentioned Program to Kill, Eye the Chicken Hawk. These are like tiered like stuff. Like I don't know if you've been paying it. If you pay attention to like say like Candace Owen, she's been raving about like Chaos by Tom O'Neill for a while,
yeah,
which is a great book. But this is like surface level parapolitical stuff. It's like you're like, oh, you read Chaos, that's cute. Whereas we're at Eye of the Chicken Hawk, a Program to Kill, like these type of dark books. So I started from theory world. I was like a bit of a political theory nerd, like a libertarian, ANCAP world, whatever. Like, what got you to this dark corner of, I guess, what we call parapolitics, to where we are here? This is clearly your specific interest. I'm not sure how much you know about me. My thing has kind of been like the Oklahoma City bombing. That's kind of where like become my niche. Although gotcha. I am also like, I find there weirdly to be connections between these sort of dark things. There always is when you dig a few layers deep. It's always the elites trying to fuck your kids. But so just kind of curious how you've gotten here, because this is like it's almost like the parody that position that they say us conspiracy people have. But it's like, yeah, but we can like legit break it down for you how it's like happening. I don't know if this was like on the show or if this was before we started. I was mentioning the Dutroux case that I've been covering on my morning streams. It's like I can list off the over 20 suspicious deaths connected to it. So I mean, we're at a spot where it's like we're not really being crazy. Like, this is stuff that's happening. How did you get to this dark corner of research?
I've always been interested in these types of events, but to be honest, it's funny that you mentioned Chaos and Program to Kill specifically, because my husband actually introduced me to those books probably, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm kind of like new to it, to be honest. You know, some people have been reading the stuff like McGowan's work specifically for when it first came out. But after that, I don't know, especially after reading Program to Kill, it changed my life and I couldn't go back. Like once I had read that and I started looking into all of those things, I couldn't stop and I couldn't look away. Like once it's such a powerful thesis, I feel like, in Program to Kill. And you know, I've always wondered like why specifically the phenomena of serial killing in the United States. It always just struck me as a very bizarre phenomena. And after reading his book, I couldn't stop, you know, so it started me down this dark path.
So you just went right straight off the deep end. You didn't even
Yep.
like warm up with any other, like, 'cause it's like usually I feel like it goes like I remember if I was gonna obviously I start off in theory world, but then I read Terror Factory by Trevor Aronson, and then you get to like so that's like very certain. Then you get to Chaos, and then you get Aberration, the Heartland of the Real by like Wendy Pennington, or Oklahoma City, and then you start getting to like McGowan, and then you're like, oh shit, like I'm seeing what's really going on beyond the veil, and I'm a little bit scared. And that's kind of where we're petering at, which
Yes.
I guess let's get back into what we were talking about, the what you were wanting to talk about today, this Mark Raymond character, whose I believe his brother was essentially the main dude of NAMBLA. So I mean, I guess we can start wherever you want. I have a actually I'll bring up right now for the audience. I'll go ahead and bring up the what did we decide these are called? What is it? Let me see. The network continuity map key. This is
Yes.
a little schizo map that we have, so we can follow all these things. So we see right here we have 84 West Point Child Development Center scandal, and then Mark Raymond and Steve Raymond. So I mean, we can follow along there to make it easier for all of us. Then look at the 80s child Thai child brothel call boy operation down here. So obviously this branches off different ways. So we can kind of go wherever you want. And yeah, I'll let you take the lead.
Great. So I'm not going to repeat my thread word for word. I feel like if people want to read that, they can go read that. I don't want to be redundant. But just a little background. You know, I'm just fishing around trying to learn a little bit about NAMBLA because it sure seems like they're behind a lot of like child murders and child abductions, especially here on the East Coast. And I stumble across a newspaper article connecting a guy named Mark Raymond with not only NAMBLA via materials that he's actually receiving to his West Point address, but his brother, who's a steering committee member there, but also to the West Point Child Development Center scandal that had always piqued my interest and not much information is really available about. And Mark Raymond, in I believe 1985, 1986, he's formally accused of molesting one of his, or two rather, of his co-workers' children at a retirement party, I believe. And it's investigated in 1986. Nothing seems to come of it because he moves on, I believe, to Santa Cruz, and then he ends up honorably discharged after receiving some like commendations and medals. So even though he was receiving CP to his West Point address, there seemed to be credible allegations of abuse against him from two children and the parents of the children. You know, nothing happened to him, and he continued to have a good military career and a good journalism career as well. So a little background on the Raymond family. So Mark Raymond is the guy who's associated with the child development scandal. His brother is Steve Raymond. And Mark kind of throws his brother under the bus when he's accused of, you know, touching these kids inappropriately. And, you know, like the allegations of the material that he's receiving to his West Point address come up. He throws his brother under the bus and he says, oh, that's just my brother who is deeply involved with NAMBLA. And I just so happen to fit like what everybody thinks a pedophile is like, AKA, I love spending time with kids that I have no relation to. I participate in youth organizations and I'm not married and I don't have any kids of my own. So kind of a suspicious thing to say, I think, you know, usually you don't have to defend yourself against abuse allegations in that way. But a little background on the Raymond family, I suppose, is in order. I covered this in my thread. But the Raymond brothers were born in Modesto County, which is north of San Francisco. Their father was a reverend at the First United Methodist Church. They lived in Ukiah for a while. Mm-hmm. A lot of people might know of Ukiah because the People's Temple was located there. Mark Raymond actually interviewed Jim Jones and a lot of people associated with the People's Temple while he was a journalist for the Ukiah Daily Journal, which is pretty crazy. I was very surprised to find that. I was like, I just want to see what this guy's journalism career is like. And
didn't he write a piece on Harvey Milk as well? Which, for those who aren't aware, Harvey Milk was super clicked up with Jim Jones too.
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And his brother, Steve, I believe probably knew Harvey Milk. I know that he was the treasurer for the Harvey Milk Gay Democratic Club, I believe it was called. So odds are that he probably knew Harvey Milk. Steve Raymond was pretty linked up with pretty influential gay activists at the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if he actually made Harvey Milk's acquaintance himself. So there's possible points of connection to Jim Jones for both of the Raymond brothers, actually.
Yeah, I did want to, while we're talking about the Raymond family, I did kind of want to back up. I've seen commonalities, and I obviously feel like maybe I'm just scratching a little bit. I mean, there were some themes in Program to Kill that kind of fit this. And I know you talked about the Huerman case not too long ago on William Ramsey's show. And there, some of the newer stuff that came out as we're finding out, I guess it's not even newer, it's just people are just now catching on to this detail, is that there seems to be a generational thing going or a familial SRA sort of related things or kid stuff going on. And there is a religious element too, which I thought was bizarre, both of which were some sort of form of Christian, supposedly they purport to. I forget the specifics of the denomination. But it just, I'd be remiss to not point out the parallel and just kind of get your thoughts. Because, I mean, I vaguely recall there were other situations in Program to Kill with similar elements too, with some of the serial killers and stuff and the way they were raised. It just seems to be a bizarre commonality I'm noticing, although indicator. So, but yeah,
no, I know what you mean. I also think that a lot of these people's degeneracies and proclivities are typically incubated in childhood, and sometimes that's due to childhood abuse, sometimes that's due to something perhaps larger, organized ritual abuse, and then they go on to be part of that organization or perpetrate similar crimes. But as for Fern Raymond, the Reverend, I have not been able to find anything that implicates him in anything like this. That's not to say that he didn't, but I also haven't found anything that confirms that. I do know that he was involved with various youth organizations, but I don't have any dispositive information that suggests that. But as to the Fireman case specifically, working in John Ray's office, we found at the office that Rex Hoyerman's first cousin was a satanic ritual abuser. He was also a Lutheran pastor in Camillus, New York. So, yeah, there are a lot of these types of weird family connections. And, the more we talk about this, some of these strange family relations will certainly come into play. One of the Raymond's relatives was associated with Robert Maxwell as well. And, Steve Raymond, in his book, his horribly bizarre and disgusting book, The Poison River, credits Detlev Raymond, the Robert Maxwell, and Pergamon Press associate with sort of helping broker his release, or at least putting in a good word for him in Washington. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, it took you a little bit off the target there. But yeah, it is a weird commonality you see every once in a while. And I think it's just, there's something there. I think it's, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm seeing something beyond the veil that I can't prove, but it does seem weird, as if there's some sort of distortion of beliefs going on behind the scenes. Like, I don't know. Anyways, let's keep it moving. We'll take this wherever you want to go because we were at the family. I took a sidetracked you a little bit.
No, well, actually you have a point there, and this is something that's been bothering me, but throughout Steve Raymond's life, he's the brother of Mark, and he's the one who's affiliated with NAMBLA rather publicly. At every point, it seems like his mother, Ruth, is right there with him, even though he's doing all these horrible, degenerate, profligate, illegal things. I posted this on Twitter, but Steve Raymond is working with these Mexican orphanages, and at one point he posts what seems to be an advertisement for a child in a local paper, and it's his mother who's posting it with him. And then later, when Steve Raymond is running a travel business where he has like a Thai call boy ring and is, you know, basically doing like sex tourism in Thailand with children, it's his mother who's helping him run Tourist Service Unlimited. And she's in the advertisements in the newspaper with Steve Raymond listing these things. And it's his mother, again, who helps try to get him out of prison in Bangkok. So, you know, there seems to be a family affair. I don't think my parents would help me if I were arrested on similar charges.
No, but maybe if there was some sort of weird, you know, generational cult aspect or something going on, that might change things a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm still picking up. It's been so long since I've read Program Kill, but I do remember there were people that were like had bizarre relationships with their mothers and clearly seemed to be that they were playing some role. I don't know. I guess these are broken people, but I guess we can take this wherever you want now. I'm sorry. I'm trying to move this. You brought up the Thai thing, so I don't know if you want to bring it there. And that reminds me of Gary Glitter. I believe that guy got busted in some, I don't know if it was this one as well. He got busted in some Thai operation. That seemed to be where a lot of these sick fucks used to go, is Thai to do the really fucked up shit. I mean, although they were doing the messed up stuff kind of everywhere, it seems like, but
wherever they could, it seems like.
But Thailand's, I know, where they really like to party it up, it seemed.
Definitely. Somebody like quote tweeted me and they said, you know, Steve Raymond must have been really fucked up because like you had 1980s Thai police after you. It's like they were really looking the other way for a lot of these types of things, which is true. It seems like they took very few steps to conceal what they were up to over there. So the allegation is that Steve Raymond was running, he was implicated in a scandal where a orphanage was a front for a brothel. The orphanage was publicly operated by Mark Morgan. Reportedly, the funds for the orphanage, for it to even open, those funds were provided by Howard Ruff, who was a Mormon like financier and, you know, like venture capitalist. Howard Ruff claimed to not know what was going on. And often in a lot of news reports, Howard Ruff is credited actually with like bringing to Washington a lot of the information that a private investigator had furnished him with, showing that Mark Morgan was not running an above board orphanage, but rather like a child prostitution network. I talk about a lot of this in my thread, but recently, because I knew we were going to be talking, I just wanted to refresh myself a little bit on all of this stuff. It's a lot of information. Make this map for you. And I ended up stumbling actually on a lot more people involved with this operation. So I've included that here in the chart. Mark Morgan, basically, what's according to newspaper articles, what brings down this whole operation, Steve Raymond's, you know, fake tour service that would liaise with Mark Morgan's operation, which was a brothel. This was all brought down by a guy named John Cummings. And if you recall, and you go back to my earliest tweets in the thread, John Cummings was the guy who back in like the late 60s, early 70s with Steve Raymond was doing the Chihuahuan orphanages and the orphanages in San Cristobal de las Casas. So John Cummings, he was, according to Steve Raymond, and Steve Raymond's book is The Poison River, and I have a PDF of this if anybody wants it, and I can send it to you if you ever feel like reading a really horrible book. But the person credited with bringing all of this down beyond Howard Ruff's investigator was John Cummings, who became an informant for the Sacramento Police Department. And he basically told the Sacramento police that Steve Raymond, Mark Morgan, and a lot of other people, many of them affiliated with NAMBLA, were running a really extensive child pornography and child prostitution network out of an orphanage and tour service in Bangkok, Thailand. So John Cummings, when he becomes a informant for the Sacramento PD, he also implicates, of all people, Arthur C. Clarke, the science fiction author. He worked with Stanley Kubrick on 2001 A Space Odyssey. I had sort of generally heard allegations that he was supposed to have been a pedophile. I knew he lived in Sri Lanka, which is usually a warning sign for like a single man. Yeah. But he lived in Sri Lanka. John Cummings furnished the Sacramento Police Department with an affidavit saying that Arthur C. Clarke was deeply involved in the Thai brothel operation with Steve Raymond and Mark Morgan. and that Arthur C. Clarke was essentially like the point of contact for pedophiles who went to Southeast Asia. And they wanted to get plugged into whatever network was out there. They would contact Arthur C. Clarke. So I just found that the other day, and it was crazy.
That is bizarre. I know that name. What is he? What of note did he write? Do you recall offhand or no?
So I'm not super familiar with his work. I'm more of a Philip K. Dick girl myself, but he wrote 2001: A Space Odyssey. That's really all I know of his.
Okay, because he was an author, right? He wasn't just a screenwriter, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
No, he was a science fiction author, and then Stanley Kubrick worked with him. He made 2001: A Space Odyssey into a movie, and he did that with Arthur C. Clarke. I believe they collaborated.
I mean, maybe that's all I know him from, but I just feel like that it just seems like I know him from something else. Real quick, I'm looking it up.
Yeah, well, curious. He's really, really famous.
Yeah.
I'm just not well read.
All right, whatever. Maybe somebody out there is going to be really... I'm not seeing anything that really... the Odyssey is 2001. I think that was somehow based off of a book of his. So,
yep.
All right, whatever. Cool. That's what he wrote. I don't know. Sorry.
A funny detail, not a funny, it's sick, but it is sort of, it is a little funny, but Arthur C. Clarke in Sri Lanka, when these allegations are all surfacing and this case is really gaining momentum and John Cummings is informing, in 1998, he was supposed to have been knighted by Prince Charles. And Arthur C. Clarke, because of all these surfacing allegations, he had made prior comments to newspapers, I believe in Sri Lanka, that he was a pedophile. He admitted it and he was like, what's so wrong with that? But he had to step away from his investiture ceremony with Prince Charles because he didn't want it to look bad.
Yeah, you probably should have held off on that announcement a little bit longer.
Yeah.
That's a weird way to blow up your knighting. Out yourself as a pedophile. All right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I see all these other people on here. Are any of these people worth mentioning or these just other, you tell me.
Yeah. So, one person that I didn't mention in my thread because I just hadn't like collated all of the information yet, who was deeply involved in this brothel network and prostitution network and would seem to be a pornography network as well, because a lot of photographs of CP were seized when the Thai police raided the orphanage and Steve Raymond's like tour service office and apartment. One of the people who was deeply involved was Jonathan Tampico. And Jonathan Tampico had also been in the Bay Area. He comes from a very interesting family. Just another little Arthur C. Clarke connection here. Tampico had been writing and exchanging letters with Arthur C. Clarke. Tampico even told Sacramento PD that he had stayed at Arthur C. Clarke's house in Sri Lanka and that Arthur C. Clarke was a pedophile. But Jonathan Tampico is deeply involved with the child brothels. Jonathan himself, he came from a very prominent Jewish family. His dad was Joseph Tampico. I have my notes here. Joseph Tampico served at the Applied Physics Laboratory at Johns Hopkins, where he provided technical direction for development of all research and missile test equipment in the Terrier and Talos programs. So those are like naval surface-to-air missiles. He was the head of Advanced Development Group at Hycon Manufacturing. He became vice president of engineering of the Associated Missile Products Corp, APL, which liaised closely with the Defense Department, and and the CIA working directly with it as well. While he was there, he was a technical consultant to the Navy Bureau of Ordnance on Tactical Missile Test Equipment. An interesting detail here is that, you know, while he was during like World War II time, he actually worked for the Ordnance Corps. And during that time as a missile specialist, he probably would have been part of the Ordnance Corps that was liaising with paperclip scientists. So Nazi paperclip scientists were actually first brought over by I'm trying to think of what it was called. I think it was like the rocket branch of the research and development unit of the Ordnance Corps. So there's probability that Jonathan Tampico's father, Joseph, was involved with like Nazi paperclip scientists as well. Jonathan Tampico himself, when he initially goes down for the first charges against him, which is, you know, like abusing young boys, is he was working at the Lawrence Livermore Laboratories with top secret clearance. He was a laser technologist, and he worked on the Star Wars Ballistic Defense Project.
Yeah, it's always generational, huh? That is, you keep finding that. All right, because what was the Raymond's? Oh, the Raymond's dad was a reverend, and then we have Tampico's dad was all right, spooked up.
And Steve Raymond, by the way, was in the Air Force. He said that he was honorably discharged for some sort of like health reason, but I haven't actually been able to find any records of his enlistment, anything like that. But he claims that he was in the Air Force.
Okay, so Steve and Mark both were enlisted at some point, because Mark was the one in Fort. Okay, yep. All right, yep. I didn't realize Steve was as well.
Yeah, he claims to have been Air Force, but
okay,
hard to verify.
Yeah. All right. Then let me see. Is there any other specific ones? I'd be curious in digging into some of these other little nodes in here. But other in this main body here, is there anything particularly you want to hit on between these individuals here? But I would like to dig into Francis Sheldon or maybe some of the Antarctic Society, Book Explorers. Touch on some of these before we get out of here for sure. But anything in this specifically in this realm in the Raymond thread that you want to touch on?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm just pulling up the chart myself here. Okay, so another thing that I just want to mention before we get off of the Child Development Center thing is that I think it's important to mention that so many children came forward who had very similar allegations of abuse. FOIA documents are available for this, so you can like read through. They're heavily redacted, so it's really poor reading. It's virtually unreadable. But you will find all of the statements and affidavits given by the children to the FBI, and they're pretty consistent with each other independently as to the abuse that occurred at the Child Development Center. They continually mention something called a monkey game, and they say that they were afraid of the monkey game, and essentially it was abuse that was occurring, and the adults had told them to call it the monkey game. They also said that men in uniforms with guns were the ones who had been abusing them, and you know, each child pretty much individually reported that they had been threatened with death or their family with death if they were to tell their parents or anybody else about the abuse. So you have all of these children independently being interviewed, all with pretty consistent stories to each other, all citing sort of like ritualistic abuse and mentioning the same teachers that had committed the abuse. They described the same people and they pointed the same people out of lineups. So I just find it pretty ridiculous that this would.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be something that's just contained in the Satanic Panic catch-all, when even if you like strip away like the occult context of it and you know what seemingly are like occult rituals or like occult ritual abuse, what underlies it all is like seemingly very very real accusations of child abuse. And the interesting thing that arises out of that is, you know, I'm researching exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's weird how they all have false memory syndrome.
Indeed. If you read through Steve Raymond's book, the police had accused him essentially of fleeing the Bay Area to Thailand. And it's because a child named Pablo Luna had come forward and accused him of abusing him. And he essentially uses the term like false memory syndrome to accuse the boy of lying. The child accused Raymond and John Cummings of plying him with LSD in the 60s and selling him. And, you know, Steve Raymond's response to that is, oh, he must have been confused because of the LSD, and the LSD gave him false memories of the abuse, which I did not commit.
Yeah. Makes sense. Total sense. All right, let's all right, the 84. Let me see. I was trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to. That's the one I know Aquino was, I believe, tied into the 84 West Point one, right?
So that's something that I came upon a long time ago in Dave McGowan's program To Kill, I think. And I couldn't. So all that really is suggestive of that is an investigator and detective called Glenn Pamphiloff. He was investigating a lot of these rings at the time, and he I think he even arrested Steve Raymond, but he must have been aware of Steve Raymond's brother's case because in a speech or presentation he gives, I believe, in front of a Senate committee, he claims that NAMBLA is involved with West Point, and he also mentions Michael Aquino as well. It's interesting to note that I believe Pamphiloff also at another point said that Aquino is a very like respectable man, a very good guy. So conflicting statements from Pamphiloff there. But I've been looking for a connection between Aquino and the Raymonds, and I haven't been able to find one strictly, but there is a sort of vague association between, their locations. So Aquino was implicated in a daycare abuse scandal. It's lesser known in
Okay, so I mixed up
sort
the
of the
daycare
Ukiah
abuse.
era in Fort Bragg. So it was a little confusing to me at first because I
I always
associate.
mix up. I know there were multiple military faux pas, I guess you could say, is the nicest way of putting it. But yeah, I always mix them up. I always forget which is which. And then I always mix Mick Martin always gets mixed up in there. They all seem to blur together. But yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really strange because I hadn't heard much about this one before. I don't think it was in Program to Kill, but I haven't read it in a while, so I could be mistaken. But Aquino was implicated in the Presidio scandal, but shortly thereafter, or was it was either after or like slightly before, I believe he was implicated in the Jubilation daycare scandal. It was not a military daycare center. I think it was a privately owned daycare center. It was based in Fort Bragg, California. It's not a military base, it just sounds like one. But children at the Jubilation daycare center had made pretty credible accusations again of ritual abuse against the owners of the daycare. I believe their names were Barbara and Sharon Orr. The children accused the women of tying them up, committing animal sacrifices, drinking their blood, cutting them open with like jeweled knives, wearing hooded robes. And several of the children reportedly positively identified Michael Aquino as one of their abusers. And just for reference, Fort Bragg is right next to Ukiah. And the Ukiah, I believe he was the sheriff at the time. Let me see, I have his name written down. But the Ukiah sheriff at the time says that within Ukiah itself, he knew of more than a handful of cases that he would classify as like occult ritual abuse, where children that he thought had just been, sexually abused by people like Steve Raymond, but they had actually described being in church-like settings with burning of candles and animal sacrifices. So it's possible that Michael Aquino was in Ukiah at the same time that the Raymonds were.
All right, let's go to the top of this. Mart the Swithin Banks. Who are these individuals? These don't ring a bell. That doesn't mean I haven't read about them, but I've probably maybe forgotten about them. So, yeah.
So these guys, this is sort of like a work in progress for me, and one of the things I started working on actually before I really started researching the Raymonds at all. But Martin Swithin Bank was caught in Long Island for running a pretty massive child pornography operation, and probably a prostitution network as well, judging by the fact people accidentally went to his door looking for like a seller of puppies, knocked on his door, and a naked child answered the door, and neighbors of the house would see children just going to and fro the house at which Martin Swithin Bank was running the pornography operation. So Martin Swithin Bank, he was a very, very wealthy Brit, actually. He started his career at Oxford, and then he came to Harvard Business School for his graduate degree. He let me just pull up my notes. He it's pretty interesting. He was a pretty extensive pornographer. He began his career as a photographer. He even worked for Life magazine. He ended up working for something called Book Adventures Incorporated, which, according to Chicken Hawk magazines, was actually like a Chicken Hawk publishing house itself. It posed as a legitimate publishing house, being associated with Life magazine, but it basically catered to pedophiles who would put out sort of like erotica of children or scantily clad children. You know, it clearly was like catering to a certain type of person. So he's working through Book Adventures Incorporated, and
is that the Book Explorers Incorporated, or is that like is that the same thing, or is it like a, or because I'm just looking at the map, I'm just like, before I ask the question again like an idiot, it just says,
no it's confusing. So there's a multiple like subsidiaries within it. There's Book Adventures Incorporated, mm-hmm. which becomes Book Explorers Incorporated. Okay. And then that's simply the New York subsidiaries of something called PIP, which is Photographs International Publicity. And then there was also a UK distributor, which was called Sun and Health Limited, which was actually owned by a guy called Ed Lang. And he was a sort of nudist tycoon who actually had like a nudist retreat in Topanga Canyon at this time. But interestingly, some of the Book Explorers Incorporated and Book Adventures Incorporated publications were found in Michael Jackson's Neverland home when police executed a search warrant.
Okay.
So when people talk about, you know, Michael Jackson being associated with NAMBLA and, you know, types of like child sexual abuse material, it's because he has like pretty, I guess for like Chicken Hawks, what would be considered like iconic literature.
Okay. So it looks like following this thread and the Book Explorers Inc. that connects these individuals, which then connects back around to NAMBLA. I'm assuming this is the connection from the two. I don't know if there's anything you want to touch on with D.W. Nichols and Walter Breen to finish up this little thread through from Martin Switherbank, from Book Explorers to these individuals. So Book Explorers obviously being a pedophile cutout of some sort, which is, there's a lot of these if you read Eye of the Chicken Hawk. And I'm not surprised that you're like Book Explorers, Book Adventurers. It seems to be you'll have all these companies that have like five different similar sounding names, mm-hmm. but they're cutouts. They're not, they're like sort of a real business, but not really.
Tour Services Limited.
Yeah.
They're not very creative with the names. I think I don't want to get us like too far into the weeds with D.W. Nichols and Walter Breen. Suffice to say, they're active members of NAMBLA. And of course, like all of these guys are connected and they hang out together. And, you know, they're writing in their own magazines and on the NAMBLA bulletin that they are all friends and they meet up together. But just like one of these like bizarre points of connection is Martin Swithenbank. His brother, Charles Swithenbank, was a really, really famous glaciologist, I think, basically studying like polar ice caps and glaciers. That's what he did. And interestingly, this is like one of the most bizarre facets of what I've been looking at here, but there seems to be like a great interest of these people in geoscience specifically. So
there's an Antarctica angle. Is that what you're telling me?
I think there might be an Antarctica angle, unfortunately. And you see it with multiple people. It's totally bizarre. But Charles Swithenbank was actually in the University of Michigan Geoscience Department. If you know anything about Francis Sheldon, you know he had either a doctorate or something close to a doctorate in geoscience. That he's listed as a friend and associate of the Geoscience Department at the University of Michigan. So there's that. Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Man,
and then
I'm telling you, we're going to find out there's a fucking entrance to Hollow Earth or some shit and the pedophiles control it. What the fuck?
I hope not. Base down there.
This is bizarre, especially when you've gone down enough like weird threads that I'm sure you have as well, like Operation High Jump and what's going on in Antarctica.
What's Operation High Jump? I don't know, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I believe a post-World War II an operation they ran to. Funny enough, my wife is actually is a descendant of Admiral Byrd, who was the one who was the head Air Force honcho running that operation. And they like said it was like a research thing, but I think there was like literally planes lost and like so there's all sorts of lore behind like what really happened at Operation High Jump. It's like a lot of people say it was aliens. A lot of people say they encountered some sort of Nazi base over Antarctica because it was like some big military operation in Antarctica, and I believe they lost equipment and stuff. So it was just like, what happened here? And it was just like, oh, research. We lost some ships. Don't worry. Don't look here. It was just one of those weird stories. A lot of people like to fill in the blanks with aliens or
Yeah, of
Nazis in
course.
Antarctica. Although there is like something, there was
I'm willing to
research.
believe Nazis in Antarctica after what I've seen.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm like, this is weird when you do color it in with knowing all the other weird Antarctica lore.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I
And
guess
so
if there was something weird going on in Antarctica, it would make sense that there'd be the elites with their weird proclivities that
it's a very
also somehow
isolated
get tied into
area.
this. Yeah.
Lots of like military bases. From what I know, I think it's like each country has a different base there, so it's very isolated and it's like military installations. But of course, it's not just Francis Sheldon and Charles Swithinbank, the brother, sorry, of NAMBLA founder Martin Swithinbank, who are possibly at the University of Michigan in the geoscience department at the same time. But one of the guys who is arrested as part of the pedophile network with Jonathan Tampico, the Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, Star Wars contractor, and Steve Raymond, and the whole child brothel situation in Thailand, is a guy named Robert S. Turner. Robert S. Turner's dad was a guy named Mort Turner. Mort Turner knew Charles Swithinbank, and they were part of the Antarctican Society together.
And what was this Arctic? Damn, I don't know why that's such a hard word to say. Antarctic Can Society. Okay, it looked easy until I started to say it. So what was was this some sort of? Are you implying it may have been some sort of cutout, or?
I think it could have literally just been like fans of Antarctica. It seems to be comprised of like geoscientists, geophysicists, glaciologists. So it's possible that it was a legitimate organization, but I think also to be particularly interested in very niche geoscience, you might have to be a spook yourself. And you can kind of get that from looking at these guys' backgrounds too. Charles Swithinbank has like a very bizarre work history. So according to his obituary, he suddenly and unexpectedly became involved with the Argentinian invasions of South Georgia and the Falkland Islands by providing specialist advice to the British government. He specialized in reconnaissance surveys from satellite imagery and its
Argentinian,
application.
what year was this?
I believe that it was in 1982.
Okay, because I heard Argentinian. We were talking Nazis in Antarctica, and it's like, I don't know if the conspiracy is obviously that they escaped to Argentina. So I was like, I was like, no
Yeah.
way. If this is post World War II, I'm gonna lose it. All right, okay, never mind. Not that it
So,
doesn't make
yeah,
sense.
that's in 1982, I think. I have to check his obituary to be sure, but it doesn't stop there. In 1983, he liaised with the Chilean Air Force as to the possibility of wheeled landings on inland ice. He did radio echo surveys in cooperation with the US government, which provided large aircraft deploying depots for smaller aircraft as part of the British Antarctic Survey. Why that would be going on in Chile, I have no idea. Yeah.
Okay, it's weird.
Very bizarre. But yeah, a lot of these people end up in geoscience for some reason. Robert S. Turner, whose dad Mort was part of this Antarctican Society with Charles Swithinbank and actually worked with him on several projects, was a geoscience professor himself, I believe. He worked in data analytics for Berkeley Laboratories, and he taught geoscience as well. Interestingly, one of the Raymond's brothers, Lauren Raymond, also worked as a professor in North Carolina of geoscience. So, an
So
inexplicable attraction they feel to this field of study.
very bizarre. All
Yeah.
right. I really feel like there's a there, but I don't even know what there is to probe at it other than that's weird.
Yeah, it's sort
Okay.
of Pynchonian.
Well, I mean, I guess it's weird. I mean, like when you start digging into these elites or whatever, they're gonna have weird interests as well. I mean, hell, like I remember when a lot of the Epstein stuff was dropping, and you heard all the weird stuff, like genetic things he funded or astronomy, or like he was in so many different weird, odd things that you really only do when you just have so much money to blow, you don't know what to use it on. You're like, I'm gonna do weird shit and really odd things I'm interested in.
Definitely. Eugenics projects.
Yep, exactly. All right, let's bring it to the middle here over at these Francis Sheldon. If I might be recalling this incorrectly, it was Sheldon was the book that essentially the all of the Eye. I don't know if you've read Eye of the Chicken Hawk. Have you read it?
Yes. Or?
Okay, you know how like starts, it kind of like starts and ends in the same way, like kind of comes in a full circle. And mm-hmm. I forget if it was Sheldon that it circled back on, like if because that's the one I believe it's making the case is some sort of he's heavily implying is some sort of informant. It seems mm-hmm. like he's kind of throughout this book kind of heavily implying there are strings being pulled by you know people in like seats of power. That is what he's kind of implying with that. I don't remember if it was Sheldon or not. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I forget. There's so many names. It's hard to keep them all straight.
It
so.
Might have been somebody else. If I'm recalling if we're on the same page, I think it's possible. Because I know that Sheldon sort of like evaded any sort of like punishment for his mm-hmm. actions. He had been implicated in the Oakland County child killings. He supposedly funded, or he's reported to have funded, according to informants, like a snuff film in which one of the children died. He was also, I believe, a writer for certain, you know, like boy lover rags. I think Hermes was one of them. And another one was Better Life Monthly, which was also called Boy Lover Monthly. But I do think that he ended up like escaping to the Netherlands. And before he leaves Michigan, he establishes a trust where who comes to be the beneficiary of his inter vivos trust, but Edward Brongersma, who was a Dutch congressman, notorious profligate and unrepentant pedophile.
You said this is when he's left Michigan. He left this in the trust. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
he left. And this was the North. Was this the North Fox, Michigan stuff that he was involved in?
Exactly.
When he left there? Yeah. Okay.
But I think it's Francis Sheldon who owned North Fox Island.
And so this is when he's shuttling off to try to evade capture when that whole thing blew up. Yeah.
Exactly. And he sets up a trust, and the person who administers that trust later on after, you know, there was a company was called Virgin Something Limited. The person who succeeds Virgin Something Limited is Edward Brongersma, this like famous Netherlands pedophile.
Okay. So to recap, I don't mean to throw you off again, just for the audience so they understand and to make sure I'm collecting this right. And I vaguely recollect this from the book. This is how essentially he made his escape. He placed all his stuff inside of a trust, and then he allowed it to someone else to be able to take over that trust. Mm-hmm. And that was essentially the way that he was able to escape scot-free, not lose any assets or anything. I mean, he technically lost assets because it went to somebody else, but it didn't get taken. So I would assume that he later was able to talk to this Brongersma guy and still probably essentially was kind of in a puppet way controlling his assets, I would assume.
I think that there was some sort of like dispute with Adam Starchild, who is the accountant and money man for a lot of these organizations. I think like Adam Starchild tried to like get some of the money. I don't know if I would have to consult my notes and reread parts of Eye of the Chicken Hawk, but there might have been some complications with the distribution of money from the
point
trust.
Being is this was like a shell game to be essentially that I was getting at to be able to get away scot-free and keep assets, everything be protected. Oh no, it's just in somebody else's name, and it's like, okay, sure, but this is one of your buddies, your Chicken Hawk buddies.
Exactly. And there's another connection to Steve Raymond here too, because in The Poison River, Steve Raymond's book, he let me pull up the actual page, but he actually claims, and I think the person that he claims to have hosted at his house has to have been Edward Brongersma. There are very few other people it could possibly be, but he says, in 1984, I hosted a cocktail party at my home on Russian Hill for a former member of the Dutch parliament who had authored a bill that legalized gay sex in the Netherlands, and whom I had met a few years earlier in Amsterdam. The legislator had come to San Francisco to speak for the abolition of laws that prescribe sexual activity. So that has to have been Edward Brongersma. And I did check. Edward Brongersma did do a lecture at Stanford University in 1984, the exact year that Steve Raymond is alleging that this Dutch congressman comes and visits his house. So it's a strongly likelihood that it was Edward Brongersma that Steve Raymond is hanging out with.
Okay. All right, last little node we have on here is the Acolyte Press. I don't know if you want to hit on that, and then I guess kind of any final thoughts after that, I guess.
Yeah, so for me, this was one of the most disturbing things about researching this whole network. It seems like the people involved with it kind of got off scot-free, which, you know, we were just talking about Francis Sheldon. That's no surprise, but it's pretty disturbing because Steve Raymond is still alive and he still lives either in Thailand or the Bay Area. He was actually allowed to go back to Thailand. And his book, The Poison River, which keep in mind is supposed to be his vindication of himself. He's saying, like, I'm innocent and, you know, John Cummings and all these other people conspired against me. Never mind about how I was hanging out with all of these, like, known pedophiles and I was a member of NAMBLA myself. Forget all of that. But this is my vindication. I didn't actually do any of these things. His book, The Poison River, is published by Acolyte Press, which was run by Francis Sheldon and published like a or pedophile erotica. And it gets even more disturbing because the organization that provides the foreword for this book is Amnesty International, talking about how Steve Raymond was so wrongfully victimized in Thai prisons. Very disturbing. And I do have my notes here. You'll notice I'll send you a picture of the cover of this book, but it has the most bizarre cover art. It's like, if you could imagine what like a pedophile's book cover would look like, it would be this. Let me just pull it up. Yeah, so it's published by Acolyte Press, and the guy who does the cover art is Jim Surine. Jim Surine is based in Michigan. He lived in Detroit, and he was part of General Motors from the 60s to the 80s, and he was in a relatively high position. I don't think he was an executive, but he was something close to that. Okay. So why do we have a guy who was part of General Motors in a relatively high level position in Detroit, right, like making this bizarre, like creepy cover art for a NAMBLA steering committee member and like notorious pedophiles book? And the guy, Jim Surine, I believe he's a reverend himself. So, you know, I can't make any accusations, but he certainly chooses to keep strange company is what I can say.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I was just going to mention, I assumed you were going to bring it up. I thought you were might have been done. There were definitely some shenanigans going on in the General Motors higher ups, at the very least. There is, it covers in the eye of the chicken hawk, there is a whole thread of individuals, what's the word I'm looking for? Essentially working together to traffic children is what it seems like, yep, in one way, shape, or form, and cover up each other's crimes. I believe, that, if I recall correctly, I believe this one kind of weaves a lot into the North Fox. Obviously, we're, even just now, we're within one or two away from North Fox, you know, directly connected. But these were kind of, you know, tied into it. So a lot of General Motors people. Point being is this was part of the network. So, I mean, here we are at General Motors. It is weird how just that one book, it ties in so many different parts. Brings Francis Sheldon's, you know, Acolyte Press, you know. So, I don't know. It's just interesting. But, yeah. Well, is there any final thoughts you have on any specific things you want to hone in on that you feel like we either missed or should have honed in on, anything along those lines, just final thoughts generally?
Yeah. The only person I can think of that we haven't really, gone over who is really an integral part of the, you know, Thai situation with Steve Raymond, Mark, Morgan, all these people is, David Grote. David Grote, he comes up frequently in Steve Raymond's book. He rationalizes his relationship with him and pretends to not know why David Grote had been incarcerated before he fled to Thailand. He had been incarcerated because he was part of a raid on a Wareham, Massachusetts cottage that had been, according to the press and multiple articles, a NAMBLA safe house and like operations base. I saw in several articles it was called a safe house, and then in another few it was called like the base of operations for NAMBLA. So, you know, either it's a safe house or it is literally where they're running all of these child pornography operations out of, because the police also sees thousands of pictures of children and explicit pictures with adults and them as well. And David Groh is arrested as part of that operation and then flees to Thailand, where he works for Mark Morgan's orphanage. But David Groh also has, you know, a rather interesting arrest history. When this Wareham cottage is raided by the police, they find a picture of what looks like Eton Pates. I'm not sure if you're familiar at all with the Eton Pates case. So he was one of like the originally like most famous like child abductions. He was never found. He disappeared in the 80s. You know, there were
Johnny Gosh before Johnny Gosh.
Exactly. It was very much like a Johnny Gosh figure, and it was replete with, you know, like a lot of suggestions that it could have been like a pedophile network that had abducted him before they got the guy who they have imprisoned now for his murder. And it's very sketchy. I think like they didn't even create like a recording of his interrogation where he supposedly confessed. It's very weird. There was a guy who was a pedophile who claimed to have been with Eton Pates the day that he disappeared. He had abducted him with plans of molesting him. This guy has like a windfall of $10,000 as soon as like Eton Pates disappears, and he goes to travel in the Middle East and Europe. I know that Maury Terry and Ed Sanders sort of corresponded, thinking that they thought that the Eton Pates abduction had something to do with like pedophiles associated with the Process Church of the Final Judgment. And then you have David Groh at this Wareham cottage, which is either the headquarters for NAMBLA or an important safe house for NAMBLA, having a calendar called a boy, the boyhood calendar, where there was a boy of the month. And the boy looks almost exactly like Eton Pates. And it's pretty interesting how that was handled. Basically, the FBI said, NAMBLA, is this Eton Pates? NAMBLA said, oh, no, of course not. It's this other boy who we actually can't locate right now, but rest assured, it's not Eton Pates. And the FBI said, okay, it's not Eton Pates then.
Good enough for government work.
Yeah, great.
One little note I realized, maybe we did mention it, or you did mention it, I missed it. The South Park Youth Organization. I'm assuming that's just some sort of other cutout where somehow they've figured out some scam to get children somewhere and get wealthy men there as well.
Yeah, so it seems like John Cummings, Mark Raymond, Steve Raymond, they all sort of grow up together in Mendocino County and in like the Stanislaus County area. They're all involved in youth organizations together. They're all involved in Boy Scouts. You know, that youth organization, which seems to have been like set up to help like underprivileged like Black and Hispanic kids and orphans. And they were also involved in Big Brothers. Mark Raymond actually, I think, helped create the Big Brothers chapter of Mendocino County. There's actually some pretty interesting stuff on that that I just found today. But guy was murdered in like 2010 by a child who claimed, not by a child, but by a man who claimed he had been abused as a child by the man he murdered in the Mendocino County Big Brothers at the time that Mark Raymond would have been there. So it was if not like a legitimate, you know, organization on its face, like there are Big Brothers chapters that aren't just like fronts for pedophiles. This one, which was set up by Mark Raymond, seems to have been definitely participating in things like that. I mean, if we're to assume that Mark Raymond was a suspect, not assume, but we know that Mark Raymond was a suspect in the West Point Child Development Center case, and he's associating with John Cummings and all of these people who are, you know, known pedophiles and NAMBLA members. I wouldn't be surprised if these abusive activities also happened at the Mendocino County Big Brothers, and there's definitely evidence that it was happening at the time, just with somebody else.
Well, all right. I think we've kind of plumbed the depths of depravity enough today. I'd be happy to have you on again some other time. Yeah, I don't know if you want to let people know where they can find you at, kind of anything you're working on. I would highly implore you to maybe start making a Substack or something for these threads. Be that way we can kind of keep this information in perpetuity, pass it on. You know, information is power. But yeah, if you go and let my audience know that, that'd be great. We can go and get out of here.
Yeah, for sure. So all I have right now is X. And it's just Lena Ajit, LenaAjit. And I post threads there. And hopefully we'll stop being lazy and make a Substack soon for all of this stuff.
Well, I mean, as someone who's written one article can tell you, and it was on Substack, if you've done threads before, it's super easy just to move it from one to the other.
It's just all you're right. It's probably easier because you spend so much time like condensing it mm-hmm. for the thread too. So all of that energy should just be invested in
I think it's great for people who like research to take this stuff and put it in every different format as possible, because then you retain it, you get really good. It just and brings you to another level. You're making a thread, you turn that thread into an article, you do a presentation on it, you just keep, and it's always easy to change it from one format to the other because you're just making minor little changes. But you learn something a little bit different out of each way you use it, essentially.
For sure.
Yeah, I really dig your work. Look forward to talking to you again sometime in the future. We'll probably have to do like a Long Island serial killer episode at some point.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be dope. But for those who want to support what I'm doing, you can support me financially over at patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. The highest level or the lowest level is $2. That gives you the early access to these episodes. For the Already Dead episodes, allows you to be a talking head alongside me and Austin. And the highest level, I read them you guys off every day to show my appreciation of your support. I have my co-host on Tower Gang at Tower Gang Toad. I have at Abrogate D's at @ZOVERACK @_InfantZeal. Jacob Daniel, the Biblical Anarchy podcast. You can follow him at Biblical Anarchy. Then I have Tin Tuttle at Jolly on Klebold. He's made the one who made that dope edit at the beginning today. Then Will Bell, who makes this delicious blueberry rabbit eye wine. Then big fan of the show at Real Josh Elliott. And then Torin Mate as well. I appreciate you guys helping me do what I do. With that, like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Boost this up in the algos. You can follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. And we are out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.